Heavenly Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would please turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 21 and verse 5. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1119. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 5. Just to set the context a little bit, is that Jesus is now headed toward Jerusalem. So we're kind of getting to the end of his earthly ministry. Three different times he's told the disciples that I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be rejected by the leaders, the elders, the Pharisees and Sadducees. I will be spit upon. I will be hit. I will be crucified. But on the third day, I will rise. And we're told they still didn't understand what he was talking about. They were still in a sense of confusion. And so now we have him kind of confusing them even more as he talks about these things that will happen about him coming again. So again, the expectation was that the Messiah was going to establish the earthly kingdom on the earth, the heavenly kingdom on earth, kick out the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of David and Solomon in all its glory. That was the expectation. And so the disciples were carried up in that as well, and that was their expectation. And so anyway, Jesus again kind of throws them a curve, but reveals to us what we hear as we look forward to this end of this liturgical year, the closing of the age, the second coming of Christ, when all things will be made as God had once designed them to be made, and all things shall be good as Jesus restores the kingdom to our Heavenly Father. And so in that setting, we find in Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 5, while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he, Jesus, said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" He said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop there because I'd like to go back and go through this whole chapter looking more closely at what it is that Jesus is revealing here. First of all, he is in the midst of the disciples, and they're wondering and just at all about the greatness of this temple that King Herod had built. It was magnificent. He put a lot of money and work into it. And the stories and the recordings of it, with just this place was just, you know, covered with gold and just jewels and just very elaborate what Herod did to restore this this temple. And so they're in awe of it. It's a great wonder. And Jesus is saying, "Well, let me tell you, the day is going to come that not one stone will be left upon another." Now we know, again, from the rest of this text, the scriptures, that it was about 40 years after this. In the year 66, the Jews revolted against Rome. Again, the Romans were occupying Judea and Israel. They revolted against in the year 66, and it was in the year 70 that Rome kind of came and said, "We have had enough of these people." They basically destroyed the whole city and destroyed the whole temple, all the way down to the Temple Mount. And if you've seen pictures, all that remains of that original temple is that one wall they call the Wailing Wall or Western Wall of that Temple Mount, which the Jews, you'll see them praying before, because the only remnant we have of the temple back to that time is one side of the foundation of the temple, not even part of the temple itself. So the whole thing, in fact, was destroyed, which means this prophecy that Jesus gave, it was just 40 years after that that prophecy literally came true, and the temple itself was destroyed, not one stone left upon another. Now Jesus goes on to talk about, when they say, well, when is this going to happen? He starts to talk about the culmination of the ages, the end of the age, when he, in fact, will be coming back to make all things new. Again, as I said, that what they were waiting for and expecting was this establishing of the Davidic and the kingdom of Solomon, where the Jews would once again have their own kingdom and rule over their own land. The Romans would be kicked out. Basically, Jesus is saying, not yet. One day that will happen, but not yet. And so he goes on to tell them about the signs that will happen that will be of his return, his coming again. So it was hard enough for them to accept the fact that he was going to die and be raised again. Now he's telling them, which they didn't even know about the ascension at this point, that by the way, I'm going to ascend into heaven, and then after a period, which we turn out to be a long period, I'm going to come back and establish what you've been waiting for now. So they had the right theology and the right scriptures. They just didn't understand the timeline. And to this day, we're still waiting, you know, for Jesus to return to establish this. Now, what I'm going to do is take this text of what Jesus reveals to us, and in kind of an objective way, not trying to be fearful, not trying to be, you know, positive or overly negative, but just in objective sense, what is it that Jesus tells us to do in this chapter? I did not put out a sermon outline, but it's easy, I would think, for you to go back and look at this chapter and just yourself to ask yourself, what did Jesus tell us to do or not to do in this chapter? Now, I begin by sharing with you, I think he starts with four things. He says, do not do this. And then he gives us five things. He says, and this is what you should do. So I want to go through and look at those. What did he tell us not to do, and what did he tell us to do? In these times particularly. And so we go back to verse 7. They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? What will be the sign when they're about to take place?" And the first thing he basically says to them is, do not be deceived. He says, do not be led astray. Many will come in my name saying, I am he. I am an anointed one. Have we heard some of that? The anointing is upon me. Okay. As we know in 1 John, there are many messiahs and many false Christs, the Antichrist. So there are many out there. It says, many will come in my name claiming, I am he, I am anointed. And Jesus says, don't go after them. They'll say the time is at hand. He says, don't be deceived, don't be led astray by these false messiahs and the Antichrist. Instead of Christ, they're going to try to lead us to follow someone else. That's the first thing he says. is do not be deceived, do not be led astray. Now he goes on to say is when you hear of wars and tumults, like terrorism attacks and everything, he tells them this. He says, do not be terrified. He says, when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. So he's saying, we're looking forward to this great time, but before that happens, these other things are going to take place. And we're going to see it's going to be a time of tribulation, which I think many of us have heard of, the trials of tribulation. So he's saying, don't be terrified, don't be afraid when you hear of all these things happening in the world. So again, I think wonderful advice for us today. Don't be terrified, don't be afraid. These things must happen. God is still in control. Then he goes on to talk about nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and pestilences. You know, why the southeast and this drought we're under? Well, he's saying in various places, not everywhere, but in various places, who knows why, in various places there will be famine and pestilences. He says there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. We're seeing some amazing astrological things happening in the last couple of years. And I think we've got a super moon coming up. He says, before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. So in the midst of the natural things we're going to see in the world, there's going to be a time of persecution coming upon the church, upon Christians. Are we seeing that? Absolutely, particularly in those lands that are in Islam and with communist nations. Those people are literally being murdered. Literally, it's now we actually had it in our own country. Remember what happened in Columbine, in Colorado? That kid was going around asking who were the Christians, right? And the ones who were Christian, he was shooting them. So even in our own country, in that instance, it was happening. But it's happening more so even worldwide. There's this great persecution that will be part of this preparation, this tribulation time. And now he's saying, which I think is normal for us, is how would we react if we were directly encountered by that kind of option that, you know, renounce Jesus or die. I hear people like, I don't know if my faith would be strong enough. I don't know if I could really stand up to it. What if I was persecuted if my job was at stake, say, for instance, because I was proclaimed as a Christian. I mean, who knows the kinds of things that will eventually be put in jeopardy because of our faith. And it might be, look, renounce it or you lose your job. Renounce it or you lose your property. Renounce it or you lose your life, maybe your freedom. We don't know. And so we can worry about that. Now, in the midst of this, Jesus says, settle in your minds not to meditate beforehand how you're going to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. So this is the third one he's saying do not do. He says, do not be anxious. He said, don't worry and don't meditate. Don't spend a lot of time wondering, how am I going to respond in the midst of this persecution? How am I going to respond if somebody says to me, you know, renounce Jesus or die? He's saying, don't worry about that. Don't sweat it. He says, when that time comes, I will give you the mouth and the words of wisdom that your enemies will not be able to refute. So don't worry about that. Don't let that weigh on your heart. Don't be anxious about how we're going to respond to the persecutions that will come. He's saying, I'm going to be with you, and I will give you the words at that time. Okay. So then he goes on to talk about the destruction. Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. When it's surrounded by armies, then you'll know its desolation has come near. Now, this is kind of an interesting one. He says, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are inside the city depart. Let not those who are out of country enter it for the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Basically, what Jesus is saying here is, he says, do not stay in the cities. He says, get out of the cities, flee to the mountains. Now, I think that's really pertinent to us living here in this area, is it not? How many have we heard people say, you know, we feel called to this area, this like this is going to be a place of sanctuary? We're already seeing, you know, the protests that are happening, right? Where are they happening? Happening in the cities. The riots and so forth are happening in the cities. The cities are going to be a hotbed. Now, it's wonderful to me for us to kind of be here in this area in the mountains and feel like maybe God has called us here. But for those in the cities, we need to be careful how we talk to them. My daughter lives up in Washington, D.C., and I was saying, yeah, the real cities are going to be really bad. And she's like, thanks, Dad. So I'm like, oh, no, but you're going to be fine. I know you're going to be fine. It's going to be all around you, but I'm sure you're going to be fine. But the fact is, I do believe the cities are going to be a really bad place just because of the people and such pack. So here, Jesus himself is saying, flee the cities and go to the mountains. That's kind of an interesting thing. I don't think it's being foretold by somebody that says if anybody's living in a city, you call them and say, you better move out of the city and move up to the mountains. But I know there's a sense that many of us have had that feeling, haven't we? That we didn't just get here by chance. And in fact, God has been leading us to find these mountains in this particular place here. So I, in fact, think God has already been working in that direction to call us here. So thankfully for where we are, but just we need to be praying for our cities. Because of what Jesus is telling the people. It says the cities are going to be bad. Okay, so what we see And this is the four. Then he says, do not be deceived. Do not be terrified. Do not be anxious. And also he says, do not stay in the cities. Now he then goes on to give five. He says, this is what I want you to do. These are things to do. He says, when the Son of Man comes, there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, distress, perplexity, people fainting with fear. He says, now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So we hear all these horrible things. What's our reaction could be to be down, to be despair. And what Jesus is saying, basically he's saying, stand tall. He says, stand up and keep your head up, because the day of our redemption is drawing near. All the people around us are, oh, woe is us, you know, negative, what's happening, the world's falling apart. No. He's saying, I'm telling you, this is going to happen beforehand. But when you hear these things, you stand tall. Keep your head up, because we are not fearful, we are not anxious, because we know that this has been foretold, that God is still in control, and the day of our redemption is drawing near. So that's the first thing he says for us to do. The next thing he says is to look at the fig tree, which is interesting. He's saying, look for the signs of the times. We're not going to know the day or the hour, but we will know the season because of the signs. He says, as soon as you see the leaf comes out in the tree, the fig tree, you know the summer is near. He says, so when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Again, another way of saying, the day of our redemption is drawing near. So we keep our heads up. We lift up our heads. We stand tall, because the day of our redemption is near. The kingdom of God is near. He says, this generation will not pass away until all this takes place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So what he's saying, I think, is this. He's saying to trust God's promises. Trust the words that I'm giving you. This is going to tell you this stuff is coming. But in that, that is going to be true. You're going to see the tumult. You're going to see the wars. You're going to see the pestilence of the earth. He says, as much as you see that happening, know that the rest of the promise is also going to be fulfilled, which is the day of our redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of God is at hand. So when we look at these things happen, say, oh yeah, Jesus told us that was going to happen. We say, and let's not forget what else he told us, is that he's going to come again. He's going to restore all things. Okay. So in this time of doubt and fear, he's saying, trust in the word of God. That word will never pass away. Look at the fig tree. The third thing he says is, watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life, and the day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Again, here's this warning. He's saying, you know, you can be really driven into despair by this stuff. You can really get depressed over this stuff. You hear all this thing happening, right? So what does he say? He says instead, he says, watch yourselves. Watch your conduct. Watch your attitude, particularly to the unbelievers. We don't want to be anxious or fearful to the unbeliever. We want to say we're going to stand tall, keep our head up, because we have a witness to give. And the witness is that God is still in control. This had or been ordained. We knew it was coming, but we also know what's going to follow after it. And that we look forward to with great joy. Okay, so again, he's saying, watch yourselves. Watch how you conduct yourselves. Do not be in despair. Do not be depressed. Do not yourself be down. Do not give in to alcohol. I think that's a wider application of all the things we have for addictions, right? People resorting to drugs and everything else to try to escape reality, right? And in one sense, that's what it's all about. We're going to try to escape, try to get out of it. Horribly so. Suicides are increasing. I don't know if you're aware of that, particularly among young people. People trying to escape reality. They're dealing with the things in their own life or in the world. And so he's saying, don't let that get you in despair. Watch yourselves and your conduct. Okay, the fourth thing Jesus says is to stay awake. Be alert. Be alert. Now, are we consumed with all this stuff? No, we don't let ourselves be consumed about it. But also, we do not be naive about it. Do not be ignorant about it. We got to stay up with the things that are happening. Be alert. Keep up with the things that are happening in the world. I know there's some people said, I can't watch the news anymore. It's just so depressing. Well, we need to keep up on things, okay? Because he's saying, stay awake, stay alert, be watchful, be aware of the things that are coming, because these are the signs of knowing when the time of redemption is drawing near. Okay, so stay awake, stay alert. And then the fifth thing he says is probably the most important. He says, pray. He says, pray, but he doesn't just say pray to the Father. He says a specific thing for us to pray for. pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you will have the strength to escape these things that are taking place. Isn't that an interesting thing for Jesus to tell us? I remind you what I've said many times when we say the Lord's Prayer. Lord, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That lead us not into temptation could also be interpreted, save us from the time of trial. In Revelation, one of the letters to the churches, he says, I'm going to save you believers from the time of trial that's going to be coming on the whole earth. So I absolutely believe there's this time, it's going to be horrible, particularly for the unbelievers, but in the midst of that, somehow God is going to be leading us and guiding us either in these mountains or whatever to protect us, to watch over us, to lead us if we listen to his voice, where to go, where not to go. But he says, pray that you'll be able to have the strength to escape from these things. So our prayer is, Lord, save us from the time of trial. Lord, keep us knowledge of your spirit and the movement of your spirit so we don't fall into these other things, where all the danger places are. Okay, that's what, maybe one reason he said, watch out for the cities. The cities are going to be really bad. Okay, so here to just kind of summarize this, what we have is we've got four do nots here. Do not be deceived. Do not be terrified or afraid. Be not anxious about how we're going to respond to this persecution that's coming. Don't worry about that. He says, in the time, you'll know what you're going to do. And the Holy Spirit's going to give it to you. And then finally says, do not stay in the city. That's some pretty specific things. Usually we think the scripture, just general. God just talks in general terms. These are pretty specific, are they not? And so I think it's good for us to heed this voice in this chapter of Luke. And then he gives us these five things. He says, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand tall. Stand up straight and keep your head up. Okay, we are not a discouraged people. We're a hopeful people. We're a joyful people because we know how the story ends. He says, trust in the word of God. Trust in the promises of God, okay? My word will not pass away, these things I'm telling you. He says to watch. Watch yourselves. Watch your behavior. Watch your actions. Watch how you respond to these worlds again because you will be watched by those around you. Particularly the unbelievers. They're going to be watching the Christians and see how do you respond. And they may not even know you're a Christian, but they see you responding with a sense of peace and a sense of joy. And they're like, how are you able to be like this? In the midst of your hardship, I know many of you have been going through personal things. And people will say to you, wow, how do you stay so positive? How do you stay so hopeful? How do you still have this joy in your heart? How is that possible with all you're going through? And that's the time of witness and testimony. I say, let me tell you about Jesus. He's the one who gives me the strength. So he will also give us that strength in time of testing. Stay awake. Stay awake, stay alert, and of course, pray. Pray that we will be able to escape the things that are going to be coming. There's a lot of teaching about the tribulation and the rapture, and the church is going to be raptured because the church is not going to have to go through the rapture. And I don't know all the... I think scripture is just, very smart people have different views. That to me is one thing. I never believe when somebody says, well, this is how it is. I'm always skeptical because I know some very smart, godly people that have different views about when the rapture is going to occur, before the tribulation, after whatever. People say, well, the church isn't going to have to go through the tribulation because we're going to be delivered from God's wrath. Well, kind of implies here, doesn't it, that there's going to be a time of testing. There's going to be something that comes upon us, okay? So I think, to look at the things that not only Jesus says to not do, but the things that he says to do. Now, there are two parts of this that I think are not of do this and do that, but two things I say for us to take away. That again, in the times, to be hopeful and to always keep ahead of us in our minds. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Okay, that's one of the things that in the midst of this is by your endurance, you will gain your... Now, that means that we're going to need some endurance. Another term that the scriptures use is patient endurance, perseverance. Paul talks about running the race that is set before us. So clearly for the church, there's going to be some effect of what's going to be going on in the world, some kind of outcome that's going to affect us. And we're going to have some kind of endurance, some kind of a testing that we will then need to be responding to. And that's when he says, watch how you respond. Okay, but by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Okay, and then finally, this other one, he says, your redemption is drawing near. In the midst of everything that's going to be happening, we need to remind, oh, yeah, it's, yeah, But our redemption is drawing near. Yeah, but this has happened, that's happened. God, but our redemption is drawing near. To me, that's always, as Paul says, keep our mind on things above rather than things below. I don't know really what the times are that we're living in. I've got like five really favorite stories, and I share these time and again because I think they're so pertinent. And one of my favorite ones I've shared before is about the good news versus bad news. For those that may not have heard it, you know, the preacher comes to the rancher, and the rancher says, "Oh, preacher, bad news, my prized stallion broke out of his stall and ran off." And yeah, please come get him, Tony. So the horse runs out of the stall and he says, "Bad news, bad news." And the preacher says, "Well, how do you know that's bad news?" Okay, later on he reads something and he says, "Oh, preacher, good news, good news. My stallion came back and brought seven others with him. Now I've got more than I had before. Good news." And the preacher says, "Well, how do you know that's good news?" Later he sees him again. He says, "Oh, preacher, bad news, bad news. My son was trying to break one of these wild horses and thrown off the horse, fractured his hip, and he's going to have a limp for the rest of his life. Bad news." The preacher says, "Well, how do you know that's bad news?" Lo and behold, war breaks out in the country. The king comes through. He grabs up all the young men to take them off to war to fight for the king, and they do not take his son because he has this limp. So the moral of the story is, how do we know it's good news or bad news? Now, did you know we had an election this week? Did you hear about the election that we had? Does anybody know how it came out, by the way? Does anybody know? Do you realize about half of our country now thinks that that was really, really good news? And the other half of our country thinks that was really, really bad news. We are a divided nation like we have never been before, certainly in our lifetimes. So many think that it was horrible what happened, and others think, "Oh, it's wonderful, our prayers have been answered." Wherever you are on whichever side, and wherever your friends and family members are on the other side, I would ask you, how do you know if it's good news or bad news? Now, I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I think one of the signs we're looking forward to is, what's his first Supreme Court nomination going to be? Well, that's one of the things we need to look for. But who knows if it's good news or bad news? Time will tell. My point this morning is that we do not put our trust in any one person. Do we understand that more than anything? No matter what came out of that election, our trust is not in government. Our trust is not in, even as the President of the United States, our trust is not in a person or a human institution. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. Because He said He's coming back again to make all things new. He's the one who's coming back again to wipe away the devil and all that is evil. He's the one who's coming back again to make things as God originally designed them to be. And behold, all things are good. Jesus is the one. In Him we put our trust. And so, are we beaten down? Are we discouraged? He says, watch how you react. Because we have a hope within us that transcends anything in this world. Because our faith is in a person who transcends anything that is in this world. Do we get it? Do we get that? Because we're going to need to remind ourselves over and over again, and we're going to need to remind each other over and over again as these things happen. Wait a minute. The day of our redemption is drawing near. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yes, so what a time we live in. I think it's absolutely an exciting time. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No, I'm not saying that. Do we know what's happening? No, we don't. But let's never forget, our trust is not in an institution or any one person or group of people or party or whatever. Our trust is in Jesus Christ, His promises. We do what He tells us to do, right? Stay, be watchful, be alert, pray and we don't do what he says, don't do this, don't be anxious, okay? And so we listen to what he says to do and what not to do. And we will be okay. We will be better than okay. So whatever's happening in the world, whatever is happening in our own lives, God is with us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. And everything that's going to happen to us will be either by the permissive or directed will of God. As believers in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that happens to us that is not allowed by God. Do we believe that? And so that is our faith. That is our trust. And that's why we are a hopeful, positive, joyful people who stand straight and we hold our head up high, because our faith is in Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is upon us. The best is yet to come. Why? George, let me tell you. Because God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for your revelations that reveal to us, Lord, the things that are to come, that we would not be discouraged, we would not be fearful, we would not be anxious, whether it's in the world or in our own lives, because we trust in your word, in your promises, in your power, in your presence, in your peace, and we trust, Lord, in your plan. We trust in your plan of redemption and salvation for those who put their faith in you. So, Lord God, we truly look forward to that day that our redemption is not just near, but is upon us. But until then, Lord, we do pray that you would show us the way to escape from things that will be coming. We pray for that. And help us to stand tall and to be affirming to one another, to lift one another up in times of trial, that our witness to the world is that there is a Lord and there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so it is in this name that we pray. Amen.